Reading from Sri Bhakti Sandarbha, Anuchet 325, The Most Confidential Wisdom. Raganuga is primarily for Sri Krishna. We have thus established Raganuga Bhakti as the most effective means to attain the Lord. This path is directed primarily towards Sri Krishna in contrast to other forms of the Lord, because the verse which serves as the basis of Raganuga, that is, the gopis attain him by amorous desire, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.130, is exclusively in relation to him. Furthermore, it was shown that even the demons attained absorption only in him, even through inimical feelings, and thus also attained perfection. This phenomenon does not occur with any other form of the Lord, whether full or partial incarnation. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Sulataya Daksu Imrutam Yena Vismai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadakti Sapadantikam Adadana Sinandante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Yulisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Bhakti Rusham Priyatnai Apayam Amanadip Samandam Tipam Bhuriya Paradhupa Dhupi Sanatanatam Pabhumatriyami Vancha Kopa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Newburgh, New Brudge. I'm at the home of the Lovell family, who are very gracious Vaishnavas. And I'm on my way to Hartford to spend part of the weekend with my godbrother Pyari Mohan at Hartford, arranging some program for me. Lucky, if you're listening, if you're free, why don't you come down? You're not too far away. So we've been analyzing this. Jiva Goswami is presenting the power of absorbing the mind through internal feeling rather than the understanding or the intellect, and how powerful that is. And he's recommending Raganuga Bhakti, where one is absorbing one's mind in Krishna out of the feeling of love for Krishna, which means a relationship with Krishna and an aspiration for relationship with Krishna, and how much more powerful that is. And he references, because of course everything that he does, the Pramana is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Pramana is the Srimad Bhagavatam, the evidence that what he's saying is authoritative and true is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So references it through the seventh canto, where Narada Muni preaching or enlightening Yudhisthira about the liberation of Shishupal explains that through feelings, positive and negative, if they're one's absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, one will achieve perfection. And then it's specifically a verse which describes different sentiments, fear, enmity, lust, relation, devotional practice. And he explains the history, Kamsa by fear, Sishupal by enmity, the gopis by lust, the Vrishnis and the Pandavas by relation, and Narada by bhakti, etc. He establishes this principle, but his real thing is to Hare Krishna. Aribo. The mute is star six. Aribo? Okay. I really want to get through this. We're really getting into the juicy part of this section. And as such a wonderful scholar, and this is quite a scholarly text, what he really wants to show now, after explaining that verse, explaining the principle, is that enmity is not part of Bhagavad Dharma. And because Narada brought up the very, the Yudhisthira brought up the question about what about King Vena, and it was described that he lacked intensity, enmity was not broken, and you can't, don't dare attempt enmity unless it's spontaneous. And he went to the Bhagavatam and said, if you include enmity as part of Bhagavad Dharma, you're extending the definition, because in the discussion in the 11th canto, it's not included. And and he explained something called the Kamutya principle. It means that what to speak of, meaning. There may be things used to illustrate a principle, but it's really, like it says, you know, Kamsa by fear, Sishupa by envy, what to speak of the gopis. So the Kamuti principle means that these other things are mentioned just to highlight a particular recommendation, what to speak of this. And very interesting, in one verse that he gave, and this is really a key to what this is, when it described how the demons were absorbed, the word was apriti diya, whose minds were of that form. So when you see an object, you take the form of that object. Your mind takes the form of the object, and that's the principle. Of course, with Vena, he had an enmity towards God. And that enmity towards God, which wasn't absorbed in a relationship with God, like Sishupala, had an enmity in relationship with God, rather than the general concept of God and developing enmity, but not really that you have a relationship, just the general concept, the general idea of God, one doesn't like and one wants to be God, he's envious of God. But that envious doesn't create a thoughts of God, because no personal relationship. And therefore the mind doesn't take the form of God, the mind forgets God. And one goes to hell by that type of enmity. But a kripadiya, whose mind is of that form, mind takes that form. It's so purified. But really, enmity is not, should not be misinterpreted as, the attitude, the best attitude to approach God. And then he explains that actually speaking, the examples of Jai and Vijay is, you know, it was, how do we put this? It was, it was really recommended to them who had this deep relationship with God, and therefore there was this semblance in the story of Jai and Vijay, there was a semblance of anger, the Midianite, the semblance of offense they made towards the Brahmins. If you know the story, they offended the four Kumaras. And then the Lord recommended this method to them, specifically under this is eternal associates of the Lord. They naturally belong in his company. And it was the Lord's desire to fight. So it's actually a different thing. It's used in these examples, and he was explaining Sri Shrupal, the principle. The principle is if in relationship to the some personal relationship to God, you can think of God even in a negative relationship. And that your mind takes on the form of the object of your meditation through some internal feeling, you'll be purified. He's just actually highlighting the principle of how Radha Nuga Bhakti works. Because one is developing some lobha, some desire to serve Krishna in a particular relationship. And it becomes a strong desire, the guiding principle of one's spiritual practices. And that's very, very clear, very, very quick. I was at this weekend. I had part of the Bhagavatam class there, maybe for a little while, but we had this very nice retreat. And I am getting good feedback from the retreat. And it was very nice. Our hosts, Nandi Bilal, Dipti, Mataji, and their children, their family, and we stayed on. We continued. Lata Maharaj and myself. We continued the retreat, and we wanted to hear the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the original Bengali, in the original pronunciation. We followed the stories, you know, from the Prabhupada's translation. So it's really read the original Bengali, which is really a wonderful thing to hear. And Savitri was reading it. And a little discussion ensued, not much. But she was lending a nice example. It was a very good example that Bhada Govinda Swami gave about the difference between Vaidhi Bhakti and Raghunuga Bhakti, and how it's above the rules and regulations. Such a nice example. He said, just like someone's driving in a car, that, you know, you have to stop for the red lights, you know, speed limit, there's so many things. But when someone is on an airplane, he goes past the same places, but he doesn't have to follow the rules on that platform from that platform. And it goes much quicker. You're on a much quicker platform, and you're not bound by the rules on the other platform. But it's something like that. It's much quicker because the principle of spiritual advancement is to think of Krishna. And thinking of Krishna through some natural internal feelings is much more deeper. Anyway, this enmity is kind of discounted as a feeling. So really what's being recommended is Radha Nuga Bhakti, which is the internal feeling of some relationship with Krishna. And in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, basically there's two types of feeling, Kama Nuga and Bhanda Nuga. Kamanuga means to follow the gopis. Sambandhanuga means to follow those who have specific relationship with Krishna, generally the parents and friends, even the intimate servants of the God. So, now a really wonderful section comes up where Jiva Goswami is going to explain how this Raghunuga Bhakti is primarily for Sri Krishna, primarily for Sri Krishna. When you talk about the purest rag is for Krishna. And in fact, when one wants to, or one loves God in that way, or one wants to love God in that way, God appears in his, he reveals himself most fully. And the full revelation of God is Krishna. There's one absolute reality. And the absolute reality responds in relationship. When the relationship is most intimate, the personality of Godhead is revealed the fullest. And that's Krishna. And when one worships God in reverence, then naturally God doesn't reveal himself as fully. That's just natural. If you have a very formal relationship with someone, they don't reveal themselves intimately. And thus, don't reveal themselves fully. So really spontaneous means Krishna, because when there's a sense of God's divinity, there's a sense of, because you're dealing with a superior, there's a sense of obligation and duty. And that's somewhat external to pure attachment. And because that love is not as forceful, and it doesn't invoke the full reciprocation of God, the full attractiveness of God, and that's Krishna. That actually is the essence of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, where Rupanuga is, we're following Srila Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami is the one who understood the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this is what he understood. He understood that Krishna means Krishna in Vrindavan, where God is at home and can reveal himself fully, and the atmosphere is not formal, and the devotees can worship him spontaneously. I think this may merit, we can finish a section reading. Raganuga is primarily for Sri Krishna. We have thus established Raganuga Bhakti as the most effective means to attain the Lord. This is established. Because it's the most absorbing. This path is directed primarily towards Sri Krishna. That means in contrast to other forms of the Lord. Why? Because the verse which serves as the base of Raganuga, which is again the Bhagavatam is the evidence. That verse said, and the gopis attained him by amorous desire, is exclusively in relationship to him. So that verse was described by fear, Kamsa by fear, Sishupo by enmity, the gopis by lust, of course it's not material lust, pondered in Vrishni by relationship, and by bhakti. Bhakti means vaidhi bhakti, so that was discounted, and enmity and fear would also now discount. Out of the five attitudes, the vaidhi bhakti was discounted as not as absorbing. And enmity and fear would be described not as Bhagavad Dharma. So you're left with relationships, sambandha, and the gopis calm. So and that verse, which serves as the basis of Raganuga Bhakti, quoted in the Bhagavatam, that verse is in relationship to Krishna. It's the gopis attained him. And other, it's in relationship to Krishna. So from the Bhagavatam, he establishes that this path is directed primarily towards Krishna, and this is what the Bhagavatam says. Furthermore, and this is such a wonderful point, it was shown that even the demons attain absorption only in him, even though inimical feelings, even through inimical feelings, and thus attain perfection. This phenomenon does not occur with any other form of the Lord but a full or partial incarnation. So this is also a very beautiful point. Why is it all the Krishna is the all attractive? when God is manifesting his full personality, Akhila Ratzamrita Murti, the embodiment of full personhood, and in love, when it's fully revealed, that form is Krishna. And therefore, the absorption, which is the basis of Raga Nuga, is fully in Krishna, because his form, the beauty of his form, is the form that can most fully absorb one's consciousness. If that form comes into one's mind, just think of the different forms of God. What can be more beautiful than Krishna? Bahati dam natta varavaku karnio karni karyam vibrad vishad. Bahati dam natta varad peacock feather, natta varad dancing beautifully, tree bangam shyamam, threefold bending form, the color of a monsoon cloud, with the Vaijayanti mala of the beautiful forest flowers in five colors hanging down to his knees, blowing his flute. So beautiful, the golden color of his dhoti, his lotus eyes. You think of all forms of God. Krishna is the most exquisite, the most beautiful form. So when the demons are killed by that form, and even out of envy and fear, they look at Krishna even to kill him. And in that emotional feeling, that form comes into their mind. They become completely purified, where other incarnations cannot attract one so fully. And the example is Hiranyaksha was killed by God in the form of Varaha, but did not attain liberation. When Shishupal was killed by God in the form of Krishna, he received liberation. For this reason, Narada said, therefore, by any means, one should absorb the mind in Krishna. Tasmat kenap yupayena mana Krishna nivesha. One should, by any means, absorb the mind in Krishna. Why? For this reason. Because Krishna, it means most attractive. And it can absorb the mind to the highest degree. So because it is specifically the adoption of Raghunuga worship that quickly leads to absorption in him, Krishna has not spoken about Vaidhi worship in regard to himself in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. Therefore, when Krishna spoke about worship of him in the 11th canto, he didn't speak of Vaidhi. He spoke of Vaidhi in relationship to Vaikuntha, which Krishna is meant to absorb the mind. Moreover, because pure rag for Krishna is found only in Gokula, Raganuga is supreme there. But even God himself plays exclusively like a son, friend, or lover of his devotee. So, Rag is supreme in Gokula, because that's what Gokula means. Gokula means when God is manifest most fully. And how is God manifest most fully? It's only in relationship to spontaneous and intimate love. One does not manifest himself fully to some type of formal approach of worship or respect. And Prabhupada, simple example, the high court judge, and he's respected greatly, but he does not reveal his full personality in the courtroom. Just as Krishna was in Kurukshetra, and Radharani saw him, but Raja Vesh in the dress of a king, you know, and the dress and the mood and the environment of worship of him, respect of him in a superior position, his supreme personality, his full nature is not revealed. And that's why Radharani is not satisfied seeing Krishna in Dwarka and in Kurukshetra, and wanted to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. And that's the deities of Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra actually commemorating that. The desire of Radharani to have her lover, Krishna, be fully manifest, which required an intimate setting, an informal setting, a beautiful setting, where Krishna can be himself and doesn't have to play God. God is not the full manifestation of the Absolute Reality, as much as the High Court judge is not the full manifestation of that person. The full manifestation of that person is within the informality of home. So here it says, this pure Raga is found only in Gokula, Raganuga is supreme there. Even God himself plays exclusively like a son, friend, or lover. That is the supreme position of God. The informal setting where he can be intimate. You can't be intimate if you take a higher position. So God, to reveal himself fully, takes a position of intimacy and equality. He doesn't take a position. He's just a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. But Raganuga is supreme there. Pure Raga is found there, because when God wants to manifest himself fully, that is Vrindavan. And then there's and this understanding, Jiva Goswami, is in conformity with what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. I reciprocate with those who worship me exactly in accordance with the specific mood. As they approach me in a mood, I reciprocate. So when one approaches God in the most intimate love, in intimate relationship, God appears as Swayam Bhagavan. His full manifestation, his full personality is manifest. And then Jiva Goswami gives the example how Krishna appears according to the surrender of his devotee. He appears, how God appears according to your approach to him. And therefore he's saying that Bhagavad-gita is primarily for Krishna, because then the approach is in intimate love, in desiring an intimate relationship, and not approaching the Absolute Reality as God, then he reciprocates and manifests the beauty of his personality. So he gives this example of how Krishna appears according to his surrender. And this is when Krishna came from Mathura, and when he entered into the assembly of the wrestling, Krishna entered into the assembly of the wrestling arena according to one's relationship with Krishna. Krishna manifests to them. That we see even here in the world. I see myself. I'm saying how it's not duplicitous, but I'm a different person according to how someone approaches me. Even in the same relationship, different friends, you may notice that different friends have different relationships. You appear differently to different people, even on the same relationship, according to how they approach you. What about different relationships? How you appear to your guru, how you appear to your intimate friend, how you appear. The child sees you as the mother. The father sees you as the daughter. It's the same person. But the child is approaching the mother in the love, you are my maintainer, you are my maintainer. And the mother manifests, the person manifests as the mother. Mother means the maintainer, the nourisher. And that same person, when their parents approach her, and parents is different, the parents is not that you are my maintainer, but they approach, that person is, I am your maintainer.
So then that person who was the mother to the child appears as the child to their mother. So what it's saying is that Krishna is the same person of the Absolute Reality when he's approached it. When God's approaching infinite love in this mood of Radha Nuga, desiring an intimate relationship, then manifestation of the Absolute Reality is Krishna. When Krishna entered the arena of Kamsa with his elder brother, he appeared as a thunderbolt to the wrestlers, as the perfect man to other men, as the god of love to the women, as a kinsman to the cowherd, as a chastiser to the wicked, to the king, as a child to his parents, as death personified to Kamsa, as the gross cosmic form to the ignorant, as the absolute truth to the yogis, and as the supreme deity to the Vishnu. And then another verse from the Bhagavatam, later on, where Brahma's words, in Brahma's prayers, he says to Krishna, "You manifest according to the will of your devotees." So, Radha Nuga means primarily for Krishna, because to worship God in with purely an internal feeling, without any Aishwarya Gyan, understanding of the supremacy, that's Krishna. So next section, and we'll try to finish this section for today. Let's see how you do. Submission to love is Krishna's ultimate supremacy. So the ultimate supremacy of God is that he submits to love. He submits to the care and desire of his devotees. That's the ultimate supremacy of God. The ultimate supremacy of God is the full manifestation of his heart. He submits to the care and desire of his devotees. And I'm trying to, this is his ultimate beauty. And if you look at it, what is the greatness of a person? The greatness of a person is not his position, because there are people who are very powerful, like great dictators, like Kamsa and Hitler, and so many powerful dictators, powerful people. I know presently many people are not too attracted to the President of the United States. But he has a very powerful position. But they're not attracted because they don't like his personality. So the supremacy of a person is their personality. And that means their ability to love and reciprocate with others. So the ultimate supremacy of Krishna is his reciprocation with love, his submission to love. Because love means you reciprocate with people, you reciprocate with the love of others. And when you reciprocate to the love of others, then you put yourself in a position of serving their desire. You submit to their, if you love someone, you submit to their desires. You serve them. So the supremacy of a person is his submission to love. If you look at a person that you consider very, very exalted, it's not only his position, his personality, that he can surrender to love. He can serve others. He can serve the desires of others. I remember once when we were I was in charge of, in Vrindavan, of inviting senior Vaishnavas to come to Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. And some other, Vaishnava, I He said, what will I speak about? And I said, well, why don't you just speak about your relationship with Prabhupada? And then he started to think that he said, yes, the greatness of Prabhupada, he said, was, he said, when someone was elder, Prabhupada would be very so respectful. You know, when someone was friends, he can be very equal. And he was describing how Prabhupada would serve people. He says, thus, although the Lord is supremely independent, that you see, that's not his greatness. His desire to be taken care of his devotees by eating the food and drinks they prepare and allowing them to bathe and fan them is also real. The Lord graciously accepts even that which is offered with ordinary devotion. It means even before your sarupa is manifest, if you graciously, he'll accept what is offered with devotion. And that's the tum pushpam phalam that you offer me with devotion, a leaf flower through the water, I will accept the offering of love from that person. So it basically means out of love, the supremacy of God is that when you want to offer him food, he actually becomes hungry. And he allows you to serve him. That's his supremacy is that. His supremacy is his submission to love. And therefore, when the devotee desires to serve him, God develops that need. Then he becomes dependent on the devotee. So he's explaining Krishna. And then he's going to give these beautiful verses to show that the Lord's eagerness to be cared for in various ways by his devotees. Sukadev praised Krishna's friends. Some greatly fortunate boys massage the feet of Sri Krishna, while other sinless boys cool his body with fans. When the Lord submits himself in this way to the love of his devotees, his supremacy is not diminished, because even at that time, his supremacy manifests in different manners. So when you love someone, Aishwarya, or their power, opulence, increases their love. So even though you have a Krishna appears, and reciprocates with the devotee so fully and so sweetly by submitting to their love and actually becoming dependent on them in love, it does not diminish his supremacy, because his Aishwarya is manifest in different ways. In other words, you may love someone very, very intimately, and you may feel that they're in that loving relationship, that they're dependent on your service. But still, they have some Aishwarya. So Krishna kills the demons. Krishna lifts up Govardhan. It doesn't cover that sense that Krishna is dependent on one's love. But it increases their love. Furthermore, although the Lord is the supreme controller, his nature to be controlled by the will of his devotees is generally praiseworthy. For example, even when he was bound with the rope by his mother Yasoda, he liberated the Yamala Arjuna tree. So he was controlled by the rope of his mother, bound, but still he still was so powerful. Although he possessed such majesty. So what they're going to show is that the attractive part of God is not his Aishwarya, not his opulence, but the sweetness of his personality, and that is Krishna. And what it's going to show, when Krishna was bound by the ropes of his mother, but then he was so powerful, he pulled down the Yamala Arjuna trees. He's going to say, what does Sukadeva Goswami highlight as prominent? He highlights the fact that he was tied by his mother. That's so much more sweet. That's so much more beautiful. That's so much more supreme. And he has so much love for his mother, who has the mood that I am your maintainer. The mother's mood is, I am your maintainer. And he agrees. It's so sweet. It's so beautiful. He agrees to be bound by his mother. That's the supremacy of God. And he submits to the love of his devotee. Rasa Vaisa. It is that love. He submits to that love. How beautiful. How sweet. His mother wants to punish him, and we know the whole story. With great labor and great effort, Krishna agrees finally to be bound by his mother because she's punishing him because he's broken the pots of butter and ghee and given it to the monkeys and whatever. And she punishes him and she ties him. And he's actually bound by that love. So here, what is Sukadeva Goswami, although he possessed such majesty that as a young child he can pull down these two trees, Sukadeva Goswami praised only the quality of his submission of love to his mother, because this is the superior aspect of personality, not one's power or position, which Krishna has, but it's secondary to his submission to the devotees in love, his ability to reciprocate love. And this is the verse, my dear king, although Lord Krishna is fully independent, and although this entire cosmos, along with its rulers, and are subject to control, he demonstrated this nature of being controlled by his devotee. That's what's highlighted. Therefore, even those who are presently drawn to the path of Radha Nuga directed towards Krishna should worship him exclusively in his future as the son of the king of Rajananda. So we worship Krishna ultimately. Of course, until we are qualified, even in worshiping the deity, we worship him in the mood of Lakshmi Narayana with all reverence. What it's saying is really, when you become drawn to Krishna, really, in spontaneous love, when you have that desire, then you should worship him exclusively in his future as Krishna. And intimately, if you are drawn to this path, you should worship him intimately. Intimately means you are my son, you are my friend, you are my lover. Sri Krishna said this himself to the cowherd boys, who were struck with wonder by seeing him lift Govardhan Hill, as described in the Vishnu Purana. So they saw him with the pinky of his left hand. Jai Shri Krishna Bhagavan. With the pinky of his left hand, he lifts up the Govardhan Hill. But what does Krishna tell his friends? If you love me and you regard me as worthy of your praise, you should consider me as your most intimate friend and relative. If you love me, consider me. If you love me, don't chant with awe and reverence. If you love me, cowherd boys, don't glorify me as powerful and great. If you love me, regard me as your intimate friend and relative. Now, very, very interesting. I'm going to skip over a little bit, but an interesting section is he goes to the Bhagavatam and describes in the same concept when Krishna swallowed the mud, and then also when he swallowed the fire, Mother Yasoda looked in his mouth and she saw, my God, this is God. This is the Supreme Lord. This is the source of the cosmos. On two separate occasions, she saw the cosmic form in Krishna's mouth. So here's an example where she saw both, and King Pritchard is hearing this. But what is King Pritchard extol as the fortune of Mother Yasoda? He extolled that they considered Lord Krishna as their son, not that Krishna was the cosmos. Because he's hearing that that's who Krishna is. Because Mother Yasoda looks in the mouth and sees, oh, this is who Krishna is. Well, Mother, when Marge Brickett hears this story, what does he extol? He extols the fact that how does he glorify that what is the fortune of Nanda and Yashoda? That they were worshiping God? No, that they considered Lord Krishna as their son, praised by the childhood vision. You honored Krishna's grace upon her in the form of intimacy of love, which she was able to share with him as her son. And then he in these same verses, he made it clear that Vasudeva and Devaki, whose worship of Krishna was in cognizance that he was God. It was mixed. Because they had worshipped in previous lives to have the Supreme Lord as their son. So their bhav was that it's the Supreme Lord and he is my son. And therefore previously they offered their Krishna offered advice to Devaki and Vasudeva, so you should constantly think of me either as your son or as Brahman, the Supreme Lord, because they wanted God as their son. So their bhav was, he's God, he's my son. It's both. You committed both conceptions because the Aishwarya Gyan, or knowledge of God's majesty, is predominant in the devotees like Vasudeva. But how do you compare Vasudeva and Devaki, who had the conception of God, to Mother Yashoda, who could never see Krishna as God? So here's the verse. O Brahman, what meritorious deeds did Nanda perform so as to deserve such great fortune? And what did the highly blessed Yashoda do for Lord Hari to drink from her breast? His parents, on the other hand, did not even get to see the charming infantile play of Krishna, which cleanses the sins of the whole universe and which sages glorify even to this day. So, Lord, what did Nanda perform? So as to get such great fortune, and what fortune? And the highly blessed Mother Yashoda, that Lord Hari would be dependent on her breast for milk. The parents and the others didn't get to see the charming pastime. They just saw him as God. They understood his divinity. So this is pointing out that this is the supreme manifestation of God. It's the most fortunate manifestation of God. When you don't see him as God, when you see him as your friend, when you see him as your lover, and when you worship him as such. Sri Sukadeva, the best of the Munis, also glorified this pure love in the verse cited above. My dear king, this is from another section of the Bhagavad later. Although Krishna is fully independent, although this entire cosmos, along with its rulers, are subject to his control, he demonstrated this nature of being controlled by his devotees. So, this is the section that, this is the highest form of Dharma, to please Krishna with infinite love. And as we know from the CC, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Krishna specifically appeared, that God appeared as Krishna, appeared in his original form, because that intimate, spontaneous love is more forceful and more pleasing to him. And that love, which is mixed with a conception of his divinity, distances one from the absolute reality, or weakens that type of look. Hare Krishna, are there any questions? Okay, and then I'm going to end now. Then I'll ask if anybody would like to say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who's this?
This is Rasika.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I unfortunately I missed the first half of the
class
because my battery died.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. You have such an intimate relationship with your battery.
Yeah, right. But I enjoyed the last part and the whole thing of the awe and reverence and the friendship and the
trying
to meditate on the pastimes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I was thinking how important it is for us to read the pastimes too, because today while I was chanting japa, my mind was wandering to some situation.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, like, I want my mind to wander to the pastimes, so it's good to know the pastimes really well.
It's very important, even in the practice of Raganuga Bhakti, when people are advanced enough to actually have deep meditation, they have to have what to meditate upon. And therefore, I find people who are serious about spiritual life, they read the pastimes of Krishna and know about Krishna. They even know about the seasons and what the seasons are like and the birds and so many things. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Anybody else like to say Hare... Who's that?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Bharati.
Bharati, thank you for coming on. Thank you so much. Good. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Let's see. Let's see. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? I don't know if Amiya is there, but I need to speak to you about organizing a program because I got to get back to the person. What I'm hoping is, I'll have to confirm with her, I tentatively spoke to her, but the person who translated the Bhakti Sandarbha and whose translation I use, named Satyanarayan Bhav, he's now come from India for the summer to teach in the Hinduism course in Rutgers University, and I want to bring him into the city to meet some people and maybe bring him to Amiya's to have class. It won't be this weekend or the next, but the one after that. So if anybody's around, he's very, very learned, and I'll probably have some nice discussions with him that we can share with others, and he's really, really, I mean, studied the Shastras for like 20 years in Vrindavan, very, very deeply. Okay, anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, we'll end for today. Hare Krishna.